All right, everybody, welcome on back here to Simple Faith Baptist Church, where the Bible changes us. We do not change the Bible. My name is Brother Carlos, here with my wife, Sister Katie. We're going to start out with some hymns. Please do me a favor and turn in your brown hymns to Song 9-5. Song 9-5, Great is Thy Faithfulness, Song 9-5. Alright, Song 95, Great is Thy Faithfulness. On the one. Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassions they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever wilt be. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Good singing on the two. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to Thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a beast that endureth, Thy own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Good singing, church. What's the next hymn? Song 395 in the brown hymn. Song 395 in the brown hymn. We want to thank God for those of you that are tuning in online, and for those of you visiting in-house. Truly is a blessing to see you guys here today. Song 395 in the brown hymn. And let's go ahead and get ready here to continue to sing unto the Lord as we get there in our brown hymn today. Song 395. Almost there. And there we go. Okay. Katie is going to go ahead and sing this on her own. I don't know if she wrote the right song down from the... All right. Go ahead, Katie. We're going to let Sister Katie sing this special here. All right. So whenever you're ready, go ahead.
You know how this song goes.
Go ahead and lead it. Go ahead. One, two, three, one, ready.
Free from the law, oh, happy condition. Jesus has bled and there is remission. Cursed by the law and bruised by the fall, grace hath redeemed us once for all. Once for all, O sinner, receive it. Once for all, O brother, believe it. Cling to the cross, the burden will fall. Christ will redeem us once for all. Now we are free, there's no condemnation. Jesus provides a perfect salvation. Come unto me, oh, hear this we call. Come as he saves us once for all. Once for all, O sinner, receive it. Once for all, O brother, believe it. Cling to the cross, a burden will fall. Christ hath redeemed us once for all. Children of God, O glorious calling, surely his grace will keep us from falling. Passing from death to life at his call, blessed salvation once for all. Once for all, O sinner, receive it. Once for all, O brother, believe it. Cling to the cross, a burden will fall. Christ hath redeemed us once for all.
Amen. All right. Okay, for the next song, 495. 495 in the brown hymn. 495. In the brown hymn, let's go ahead and turn in our brown hymns there today. We're going to wait here up there. Almost there. All right, he leadeth me. 495. On the one.
He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, whate'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me by his own hand, he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me.
Good singing. On the two.
Sometimes in scenes of deepest gloom, sometimes where Eden's bowers bloom, by water still or troubled sea, still 'tis his hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me.
On the third.
Lord, I would clasp thy hand in mine, no ever murmur nor repine. Content whatever lot I see, since 'tis my God that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me.
On the last.
Task on earth is done, when by thy grace the victory's won. In death's cold wave I will not flee, since God through Jordan leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me by his own hand. He leadeth me, his faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me.
Amen. All right, good singing, friend. Let's go ahead and greet one another today. Tell somebody you're thankful to see them here at church. Brother Nick made it. Yeah, everybody here. Praise the Lord. All right.
All right, welcome to Simple Faith Baptist Church, where the Bible changes us, we don't change the Bible. My name is Kwame, you can call me Brother Q if you like. I'm going to go over to get a quick announcement so we get straight into the Word. We got a lot of Word to go over today. We also have the Lord's Supper to do. We also don't want to forget our memory verse from Brother Manning. All right, so first things first, we're going to go over the calendar tab. I'm not going to go over that. Just like any other calendar tab, it just tells you current, future, former events, so you can come and join us here at Simple Faith Baptist. About us, we're just a Bible-based church, fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Who love the Lord, love one another, and we stick to that book, amen. Our church team, this is just basically a link here so you can reach myself or Brother Carlos via email or phone. And the prayer tab I will go over because it's very important is the prayer tab here. Prayer tab is very important because God tells us to pray without ceasing. We should be praying for one another. We should be praying for those who are in authority as God has commanded us to do. It is a blessing to be able to have fellowship with God, to be able to talk with God, because that's something that not everyone has that opportunity to have Christ Jesus as a mediator unless you're born again. So please exercise that gift of prayer and talk to the Lord about what you need to talk to. Now, the way you want to do this here, if you want to do it on our webpage so we can pray for you as a body here at Simple Faith Baptist, you just submit your prayer requests right here on the right-hand side. Name, email, prayer, title, prayer details. You can also choose a category. All right, so one prayer request that we just got over the weekend before we went soul winning is we want to pray for Brother Stephen and his mother. All right, his brother Stephen and his mother, she's going through a lot right now with the whole diagnosis of COVID and cancer and things like that. We want to pray for Brother Stephen, definitely. So we're going to definitely take time as a church to pray for Brother Stephen before we depart this afternoon. Amen. And anybody else who wants to put a prayer request, you know the instructions. Just follow instructions, submit, and we'll go ahead and approve that. All right? So let's go ahead and move right along to current and future ministries. All right, just going to go to the homepage and kind of skim through it so you can know our schedule here. If you would like to join us every Sunday at 1 p.m., we have our Sunday school. We're going through a book talking about Signs, Wonders, and Miracles by Brother James Knox. Awesome study on how to write and divide the Word of God, because that's ultimately what we're doing here. All right, just like God commanded us to do. 30-minute class, awesome study on what those gifts were for and what they mean. And now I learned a lot today about the gift of charity. You want man. All right, so let's go moving right along. Go down to Sunday service at 1:45. We praise God, worship in spirit and in truth, and we get straight into the Word of God after a quick announcement. Okay, Wednesday nights at 7, we're going to have our midweek Bible study. We have that every Wednesday except for that one Wednesday out of the month. I just want to show you here on our calendar tab. One Wednesday out of the month, we're going to have that prayer time. All right, so you see, it's every first Wednesday. So please feel free to come join us in prayer. It's good to be amongst brothers and sisters and praying for one another and praying. There's a lot of prayer that is needed. All right, so Friday nights, we have our Friday night discipleship class. Awesome study on how to write and divide the Word of God, because obviously you can wrongly divide it, as I always state. Two books I just want to show you briefly, Understanding the Scriptures, Write and Divide by Brother James Knox. And also want to go over right here, one book, Write and Divide It. You got James Knox, Douglas Stauffer, and Andrew B. Ray. All right, so please join us for that every Friday at 7. All right, so and this Sunday, what we're going to do, since it's the last Sunday of the month, we're going to have the Lord's Supper as well. So so for the members here, you know, if you are saved, very important, make sure you're saved. and, you know, confess any sin to the Lord before you take part in the Lord's Supper, so we can do that in remembrance of our Savior. All right, so moving right along, live stream links, Facebook, YouTube, and podcasts. Please feel free to click that link. Bible study tab here. Awesome tab where you can learn more Bible, being teach, history of the Bible, add more knowledge to your faith. So please utilize this link here. Again, if you know me, my favorite is Brother James Knox. Not trying to be a respected person, but I just love the way he references the Word of God. Amen. All right, so giving, real quick, it's between you and the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Whatever you purpose in your heart as unto him, he knows your heart. But if you would like to give the Simple Faith Baptist, all funds go to the ministry. However, we can show charity amongst one another and serve our Lord. Amen. So with that being said, I welcome up Brother Manny, and we're going to have our memory verse this afternoon. Let's see if you remember the memory verse.
So 2 weeks ago, the memory verse was Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This week's, it's actually going to be two verses. It's going to be Romans chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. It says, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. So that's the two verses to memorize till next week. And I hope you guys are being faithful. You know, this is for, you know, between you and the Lord, to provoke you guys to memorize verses.
Can you repeat that?
It's Romans chapter 5, verse 8 through 9. All right, well, thank you.
Thank you.
And I'm happy to be saved.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, everybody, praise the Lord. Thank God for all of you who are visiting in-house. I want to thank God for Brother Colmaine, Brother Manny. Praise the Lord. It's a blessing to have you guys here. Let's go ahead and get right into it. Book of Romans, chapter number 12. We have a lot of scripture to talk about today, and a lot of scripture that some of us may be challenged in, a lot of scripture that's going to provoke you and your spirit to consider the Word of God over feelings, the Word of God over your past, the Word of God over your present. And this study here, it was a little heavy on my heart because, again, like I said, it's going to provoke some memories for those of us who came out of a surprising thing, a sinful lifestyle, amen. As we talk about God's Word as it's a mirror reading back to us, showing us the heart condition of who we are truly. So without further ado, please turn with me in your Holy Bible, that King James Bible, to Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Through three. This is going to be our part four. And the reason why I want to take more time going through scripture is because we're going to be going through a lot of Bible definitions today of the three parts that make you up, which is a spirit, soul, and body, and why it is vital for you to understand the difference in how your Bible distinctly defines them separately, and why it is for the New Testament Christian, the Holy Spirit urges us to present our bodies to him, and why that's important. But before we get to the body, what influences the body to do its things? That's where we talk about the soul and the spirit. So we're going to get there. I'm going to try my best. We got a lot of scripture to go through. So without further ado, let's get into it. God, I thank you for today. I pray that you would minister to us through your word. I pray the Holy Spirit would help us to have ears to hear and eyes to see. I pray that you would remove any distractions out of our heart, Lord. And like Brother Quamain said, before we partake of the Lord's Supper, that we would confess our sins to you and our faults, Lord, so we can have a right heart before you when we do honor your Son for this as we come together. And so we thank you for this time now, Lord. I pray that you'll deal with our hearts accordingly in Jesus' name. Amen. Romans chapter 12, verse number 1, the Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves, the Bible says, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Verse number 1, once again, brethren, being written to New Testament Christians, all, everywhere, anywhere right now on this planet, wherever there's a saved Christian body, this is being directed to them. Those of us that have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, by the mercies of God, the Spirit says, and we've already studied that in times past, That is the virtues or characteristic traits of God. Remember those of you for that the mercies of God is linked with his loving kindness, his mercy, his compassion, his truth, his grace, his forgiveness, his tender mercies. But the Holy Spirit writes to us through Paul, beseeching us, that is a strong entreaty. He's imploring us. He's urgently requesting of us that we present our bodies a living sacrifice. Now, as we move forward in our study today, we're going to see the Bible present to us the definitions of the following. Holiness, number one. Number two, acceptable unto God. And number three, reasonable service. We're going to let God's Word define for us today those three things in context as we study the Bible teaching on spirit, soul, and body, and why it is important that the Holy Spirit does urge us to give unto God our body. But before we get to the body, we need to talk about what's in the body, and that's the spirit and the soul, because the lusts are going to originate from somewhere, and we're going to talk about that and why that's important. Now today, we will continue in our study from God's Word, not man's, God's definitions, not man's, God's authority, not the church's, exactly how he expects us as Christians to do just that, especially considering what and how to manage our bodies. Now note, what we're about to be reminded of may make you feel uncomfortable, as it may bring up past thoughts and or memories of sins committed long ago. God forbid any of you today continuing. I hope you'd not. But just know, God's Word has the power to sanctify. It has the power to pierce. It has the power to get in that heart, that soul, that spirit, separate that, to renew the spirit of your mind, as we're going to see in verse number two, if you allow it to. This process of maturing, this process of molding and shaping, renewing, takes place within us. Now, before we continue, just know this, that I am not perfect, that I know that I am not sinless, and I am not above you, nor are you likewise, as it pertains to our current positions before God. But I could, however, be stronger in the faith than yours, and vice versa. You could, however, be more stronger in the faith, as we'll see Scripture later on tell us that there are certain brethren strong in the faith that ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. So that is a Bible truth that we need to understand as well. So just be remembered about that as we move forward. Now let's talk about the body. Verse number one, the Bible says, present our bodies a living sacrifice. What is the body defined? How is the body defined in Holy Scripture? Like I said, a lot of Bible. Get ready. The first stop, the book of Proverbs, chapter number 5. Proverbs, the 5th chapter. And I'm going to encourage you to look up to the projector, as we have a lot of Scripture to go through today. Don't be shy. Also, praise the Lord for technology. You can watch this sermon after we're done and slow it down so you can write down for those of you who want to take notes. But we have three places to go to. Proverbs, then we're going to go to the book of Job, and then we're going to go to the book of Genesis. So now you know the direction. Proverbs, Job, and the book of Genesis. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, chapter 5, verse number 11, "And thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed." Do you see that? The Bible defines the body as the flesh. The flesh. You with me so far? Job chapter 19. Here's what the Bible says. Job chapter 19, verse number 26. The Bible says, "And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." With me so far? Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, verse number 23. The Bible says here, "And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh." So the body is the flesh, and the flesh is the body. Now elsewhere in Scripture, I'm not going to go there, but you can do your own personal studies. The body is also likened to a vessel. It's also likened to a tabernacle, and it's also likened to a building. And as you can imagine what that looks like, people put things into vessels, people put things in a tabernacle, the mercy seat, etc., and people put things in a building, like chairs and so on and so forth. Inside of our bodies, we have what the Bible calls members, and some of those members are made up of parts like the eyes and like the hands and the inward parts. That's all going to be important today to understand why the Holy Spirit tells you as a Christian, you got to give God your body. And that tells me he's not going to do it for me. I need to do that. But I need to do that in response to the power that he's given me in Christ. He has given me the ability, when he saved my soul, to be set free from the power of sin, power of Satan, unto God. And now that I'm a new man in Christ, I have the power to give him this body. But he's telling me to do that. So now we need to understand how that works out. And we're going to try our best to explain that to you today. The body, however, is controlled and or governed by the spirit of man. The spirit of man. Where it could be said, now I don't have this quite clear, and you're more than welcome to have your distinct perspective on the origins of the emotions, as we say, the feelings of the man. And I happen to believe that it's the spirit. However, the spirit of man. And that spirit of ours can have either a positive or negative effect on the body. Proverbs chapter number 14, and let me show you two in the book of Proverbs. The first is Proverbs chapter 14. The Bible says in verse number 30, watch this now. A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones. So your heart, which is going to be synonymous with your spirit, we're going to see that, it can have a physical effect on your body. Proverbs chapter 17, notice I'm not going to give you a lot of teaching, I'm just going to read you the verse and give it a quick feeding there. Proverbs 17, verse 22. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. You see that? So the spirit is connected with your heart. The heart is connected with the spirit, and when your heart is in the right place, your spirit's in the right place, and that can have a positive effect on the body. But when your spirit's in the wrong place, your heart's in the wrong place, it can have a negative effect on the body. How many of you guys have ever felt stressed before in your life? I think all of us here. Amen. Notice when you get stressed, you get wrinkles. Or when you get angry, what controls the body is the spirit. So when you have the angry thought within you, your flesh therefore reflects and projects the anger. Your countenance, the Bible talks about the countenance of man all the time. He looks fierce. He looks angry. The spirit of man. Spirit of man. Now this spirit of ours can be troubled. It can have anguish. But it can also have a sense of rejuvenation. Let me show you three places. The first is going to be in the book of Genesis and then in the book of Exodus. Now you know where we're going. Genesis and then Exodus. The first part in Genesis is going to be chapter 41. Genesis chapter 41. And then we're going to go to Genesis chapter 45. Now watch this. Genesis 41, verse number 1, the Bible says, It came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed. So far we know what's going on. Pharaoh had a dream. Go down with me to verse number 8. And it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled. Notice, his spirit was troubled. So the human spirit can be troubled. Notice your stress. Notice all the feelings and the emotions. Perhaps it's the spirit of man that has those responses or those sensations, if you will. Go with me to chapter 45 in the book of Genesis and look at here in verse number 27. Genesis 45, verse number 27. The spirit of Jacob, their father, revived when they were about to take him back. Before everything was going on down there in his life back in these days, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. So, you know, whenever you feel excited, as you say, I'm feeling pumped, I'm feeling rejuvenated, if you will, that's your spirit. That's pretty cool. Your spirit can feel those sensations. Exodus chapter number 6. Exodus chapter number 6 and verse number 9. The Bible says here, Moses spake so unto the children of Israel, but they hearkened not unto Moses for anguish of spirit. Do you see that? Anguish of spirit. So again, when you feel, quote, down in the dumps, I'm having a bad day, your human spirit, that's the place of origin of your feelings. Again, that's my take. You can differ on that. That's fine. I'm just showing you the Bible. It appears that the feelings and the heart are connected with the spirit of man. So far, we've seen that. I'll show you one more in Deuteronomy chapter number 2. Deuteronomy chapter number 2, let's go to verse number 30, and here's what the Bible says here. But Sihon, king of Heshbon, will not let us pass by him, for the Lord thy God hardened his spirit and made his heart obstinate. You see there? So again, the heart synonymous with the spirit. Whenever you see the hardening of the heart, it's because the spirit of man is reflecting and meditating on the feelings, and that's going to be the response to God, and that's where God is going to respond to you. You guys understand that so far? The emotions, the feelings, the senses of the soul are said to be here connected with the spirit. Look at what the Bible says in Job. Perhaps this is going to be more like a presentation because, like I said, we have so much scripture. Just look up to the projector screen and you can try your best to take down notes, but you can always go back later. Job 7, verse number 11. Look at this. He says, therefore, I will not refrain my mouth. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. Notice, this is the part of our being where it seems to be the spiritual communication from God is made to us, and we respond to God through faith, through the Spirit. Through the Spirit. Let's go to Job chapter number 32. Job chapter 32 and verse number 8. The Bible says, but there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. So whenever you say, man, I'm learning doctrine, I'm learning Bible, perhaps it's through your spirit that you're understanding that. That's the understanding of man, you understand? It's also the part of us where conviction can lead us to humble ourselves before God, and prayer is through the Spirit. Look at what Psalm chapter 34 says. Psalm chapter number 34 in verse number 18. The Bible says here, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Do you see there? Conviction happens in your spirit. How about that? We need, however, to get a hold of our human spirit, for it is the inspiration for the body and to carry out of its deeds. This is where now we're going to get into that New Testament understanding. We're going to build, though, the foundation of understanding the spirit and the difference between that and our soul and our flesh. Look at what Proverbs, and we're going to be there for the next three. Proverbs chapter 14 says. Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 29. The Bible says here, he that is slow to wrath is of a great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. We need to get a hold of our spirit. Proverbs chapter 25, here's what the Bible says here in verse number 28. The Bible says, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. We need to get a hold of our spirit. Proverbs chapter 26, 29. Proverbs 29, verse number 23. Look at what the Bible says here. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. We need to get a hold of our spirit. That's the part of our being that we talk to God. We talk to God and we say, Lord, man, I'm feeling that conviction. God's spirit pricking my heart of sin, and that's where I respond to God. It's that spirit of God that he's given us. That's how we respond. Now, the next couple of verses are quite interesting to consider because a lot of folks say, well, what happens to the spirit after we die? I know the Bible talks about that in the New Testament, the book of James, that the flesh without the spirit is dead or something along those lines. And I'm going to show you right now where that spirit goes to when you die. But until it departs from your body, you are the one that needs to control that thing. God is not going to do it for you. That's why we need to present our bodies, and we need to get a hold of our spirit, as I've just showed you. Now let's go to Ecclesiastes. The book of Ecclesiastes. We're going to be here for the next couple of verses. Ecclesiastes, and I'm going to show you here from chapter 2. Let's go down to verse number 26. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse number 26. For God giveth to a man that is good in his sight wisdom and knowledge and joy, but to the sinner he giveth travail, to gather and to heap up, that he may give to him that is good before God. This also is vanity and vexation of spirit. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse number 21. Just in the same book, go down here to verse 21. Who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward? and the spirit of the beast that goeth downward to the earth. So what does that tell you, Christian? Without getting too deep into that, when you die, your spirit goes up. When your animal dies, your goat, your dog, or your bird, or whatever you got, it goes down to the earth. There it is. I know. Pretty deep studies, I know. Chapter 7, there you go, for all those fantasy theology out there. Oh, our animals are in heaven, those little angels. No, they're not, thank God. The Lord has better things up there than down here, amen. And I don't got time to be picking up poop up in heaven, amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse number 8. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. You need to get a hold of your spirit. You can be proud or you can be humble. What does God say? Who is good in my sight? That's who I'm going to bless because they're controlling their spirit. Verse number 9, be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry. Wow, let me see, brother. Where does that sound like to me in my New Testament? Maybe somewhere in the book of Ephesians. Maybe somewhere in chapter number 5. Be ye angry and sin not. Maybe that has to do with you controlling your attitude, which is your spirit, not the others. Notice, your own spirit. For anger resteth in the bosom of fools. You still feel angry against your brother or your sister in Christ? You know the Lord calls you? A fool. Get over yourself, get a hold of your spirit, and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I don't want to be of a proud spirit. Help me to have more charity and grace. Now, let me show you one quick nugget. This has nothing to do with our sermon, but this is really unique to understand about the spirit of man. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse number 8. Ecclesiastes 8 and 8. There is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, that is, to keep it within the body. Neither hath he power in the day of death. When your time comes, God says, you don't have the power to stop it. You're going to die. And there is no discharge in that war, neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to him. But there's one man that I read about in my Bible who had power over his spirit, and that man is the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you ready? Quick nugget, Luke chapter 23. This is not a part of our sermon direction, but this is just quite interesting to understand. He is the man that I want to put my trust in. If he has power over that spirit, I know he can have power over mine. Amen. Luke 23, look at what he says down here in verse number 46. Jesus said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Jesus wasn't any ordinary man. He was God manifested in the flesh. Only the Lord himself, as the God of life, the one who governs spirits, can say, I'm going to willfully surrender my spirit to you, Father. No man took his life. He gave it up. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. And one last there about the spirit, and then we'll get to the soul. Ecclesiastes 12. Remember how we said that the spirit goes up, not down? Here's what that Bible says. Verse number 7. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. That's a gift from God, man. That gift of life is the spirit of life. You need to take control of how you influence it, but when you die, it goes right back to God. So that leaves us with the third part, the soul. Y'all ready to keep learning? Let's keep going in our Bible study here, Genesis chapter 2. Genesis 2. Verse number 7, this is the first mention you're going to see of the word soul in your Bible. The Bible says, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, that's the spirit, and man became a living soul. This soul is the part of our being that is one's true self or identity within the flesh. It's the real me and the real you in the body. God identifies man as souls. He can truly see the real you behind your flesh, not a problem. And he will, at times you'll see throughout the scriptures, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. That soul shall be cut off from his people. That's the real us behind this little flesh tabernacle that we have here called the body. Look at Genesis chapter 17. Genesis 17, verse number 14. This is just one example of how that's referenced throughout your Holy Bible. For example, that soul shall be cut off from his people. Do you see there? So whenever you see that in your Bible, he's referring to the real you. What is your soul in? The body. So what are you going to do when they don't get circumcised? Kill that fool. Why? Because that's the soul that's sinning against me. So it's the real you in the flesh that has the decision to either obey God or disobey God. We're trying to build up our understanding here about the soul and its part. When we die physically, the soul also departs. Watch this in Genesis chapter 35. Genesis chapter 35. The Bible says here in verse number 18, and it came to pass, as her soul was departing, for she died. When you die, what does that Bible tell us in Ecclesiastes 12? My spirit goes back to God, who gave it. My soul also departs somewhere. But the souls don't automatically go back to God up there. They're going to have to go somewhere else. It's either going to be heaven or hell. Heaven or hell, and we're going to establish that for us. Our soul is held accountable for sin. Are you ready for this? Leviticus chapter number 4, and then I'm going to take you all the way to Micah. Luke chapter 4, and then Micah. The soul is accountable for sin. Look at Leviticus 4, verse number 2. If a soul shall sin through ignorance, do you see there? There's so many references to the soul sinning, but suffice that. And then Leviticus chapter 5, verse number 1. If a soul sin, can't get any clearer than that. Now let's go to Micah. Micah chapter number 6 is pretty good here. Micah, the 6th chapter. And let's read here in verse number 7. This is pretty good right here. Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? See that? So what sins against God? Your soul. Your soul. These lusts, however, this is why we have to build up to get to the body. These lusts within our bodies are desired from the other parts within our body, which is the soul and the spirit. So before we can present our bodies to God, a living and holy acceptable sacrifice, Romans 12, I gotta first get a hold of my spirit, and I gotta make sure my soul is in the proper place that God wants it to be. If I am not saved, my soul is still going to go to hell. I cannot present it to God because there is no Holy Spirit dwelling inside of this soul of mine. But after I become a Christian, the Holy Spirit comes inside of me. He renews me. I'm a new creature in Christ. I have a regenerated soul. I have the power over the spirit to be able to take control of the body. So that's why you need to understand from the Bible, you have two things you first need to get a hold of before you get that body to God: your spirit and your soul. The lusts within your soul is what fights against your soul. Watch this. I'm going to show you two places from way far ends of the spectrum in the scriptures, Deuteronomy chapter 12 and Revelation chapter number 18. Deuteronomy chapter number 12 in verse number 15, and then I'll show you all the way over there in Revelation chapter 18. This Bible's good if you just leave it alone. Here's what the Bible says in verse number 15. Notwithstanding, thou mayest kill and eat flesh in all thy gates, whatsoever thy soul lusteth after. We're not talking about sin or not in this context. I just want to show you that the soul lusts, it desires, it has desires, you understand. But what about God giving us a clearer definition of that? In Revelation chapter 18, are you ready? About the soul and its desires. Revelation chapter 18, verse 14, the Bible says, and the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee. Sounds like I got to take care of a lot of stuff within me first before I can start getting the outward man taken care of and then presenting to God. It sounds like to me from God that I have some lusts that are inward that I got to take care of before I can give him this body how he expects it, which is what? Holy, acceptable, my reasonable service. So before I start serving God in my local church, before I start giving my finances in my local church, before I start trying to use my spiritual gifts for the edifying of the saints, I need to get my spirit under control. I need to get my soul in the right place. Because if my spirit and my soul are not meditating on his word, I'm not going to be accepted in his sight. Why? because my body is not going to follow the orders from within. Now here's a side nugget. How many of you guys know that God has a soul? God has a soul. If what does it say there in Hebrews somewhere in there? If his soul draweth back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Y'all read that. But look at here in the book of Psalms chapter 11. Let me show you this quick nugget, just like I was sharing with you the other nugget about the Lord having power over his spirit. Look at what the Bible says here in the book of Psalm chapter 11 about God's soul. How many of you guys believe the Bible here today? Well, if you do, then you're going to agree with the God of the Bible that his soul can have happy thoughts towards certain things and angry thoughts towards certain things, just like you can. There are certain things that you hate, and there are certain things that you love. Likewise with God, his soul, when he looks to his creation, there are certain things that he says, man, that's pleasurable in my sight. Look at that. What a good thing, Genesis chapter 1. But man, look at sin. I hate that thing, and I hate that guy that is doing that thing. I'm going to show you right now. Psalm chapter 11, verse number 5. Here's what your Bible says. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. How about that? That's quite interesting if you ask me. And that's why I'm telling you, friends, a lot of these churches nowadays, they're not preaching the God of the book because it doesn't satisfy men's desires. It doesn't satisfy men's flesh and sensations. It doesn't make people feel good. Why? Because nowadays churches, a lot of them are trying to appease the feelings, the spirit of the man. But if I stick to the God of the book, you know what he said? He has a soul, and his soul has happy thoughts, and his soul has angry thoughts. And here's what he says, the person that's good in my sight, the righteous, I'm going to try him, but he hates the wicked and them that love violence. He hates them. That's what he says. That's why you got to get back in this book. Amen. That's where I said in my little note right there, I'm glad to be saved. Woo! Boy, I can't tell you how violent I was in my past. I can't tell you how I loved wickedness. I can't tell you how much I used to love these certain sins that the Bible talks about. And all. You know what the Bible said? The Lord hated me. He was against me. He was angry with me every day. That's why the righteousness of Christ is what reconciles us. But until then, that's what the world has against them. And that's why they need to be saved, etc. So what are we defining right now? The soul. We're talking about the soul. Now let's keep going in our study here. We just talked about the soul lusting. We just talked about that the soul has desires, and perhaps that's where the Lord is going to keep us accountable to because of our decision. The soul is what God converts when we believe in his word. Let's look at Psalm chapter number 19. So we're in the neighborhood of Psalms. Let's go to chapter 19 together. And here's what your Bible says in verse number 7. Psalm chapter 19, verse number 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Later on, when you hear about Jesus Christ and him dying on that cross, being buried and risen from the dead, the gospel, the Bible tells us in the book of Romans 1:16, that is the power of God unto salvation. When you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, he saves your soul. Why? You believed his word. It converted you. Praise the Lord for that. The soul is what hungers or thirsts. Are you guys ready for this? It's quite interesting. Let's look at Psalms 107, verse number 9. Psalms 107, verse number 9. Look at this. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Another area where he feeds the hungry soul, or at least the soul is described as hungering, is in Proverbs chapter number 27. Look at this. Proverbs 27 and in verse number 7. The full soul loatheth an honeycomb, but to the hungry soul every bitter thing is sweet. So what have we established so far? The soul is the desires of the real you. It doesn't matter if we're male or female, we all have a soul. That's the part of you that has desires. Hunger, desires. Lusts, desires. And that spirit has that influence as well, perhaps the spiritual influence from the world, God, the devil, etc. And that's where that accountability is going to be made. So before we move forward in our base text, Romans 12, where we know that, before I present to God my body a living sacrifice, I need to get a hold of my spirit And I need to make sure that God has my soul. Amen. Because if he don't got my soul, I ain't got no power over this flesh. I ain't got no power. God will respond to the soul that seeks him. Are you ready? Lamentations chapter 3, and then we're going to go to Ezekiel. Lamentations chapter number 3, and then we're going to go to the book of Ezekiel. Praise God. For those of you that are visiting, we do truly appreciate you, and we hope and pray that the Bible will edify you. As we're a Bible-based church, we just want to feed you nothing but the Word of God. That's the hope here. Lamentations chapter 3, verse number 25. Bible says, "The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him." It can't be any clearer. You can seek God, you can reject God, but where do I do that? What part of my being? Not the spirit, not the flesh, the soul. The soul. Ezekiel chapter 18, many of you guys know this verse from street preaching with us. Watch this. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse number 4. "Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die." You know what that tells me? Tells me that I need something to help my soul live when I die. Because when I was born into this world, I sinned against God. The minute that I lied one time, guilty by God, on my way to die. The minute that I disrespected my parents one time, guilty, on my way to die. We've broken God's laws. We understand that our conscience has been tainted when we did the wrong, when we know we should have done the right. So the part of us that's going to die is the soul. And that's the part that is going to depart from the body. We already talked about that. And that's the part that God is going to hold accountable because of sin. Go down to verse number 20 in the same chapter, Ezekiel 18. Bible says here, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." And then go down here to verse number 27. Again, "When the wicked man turneth away from his wickedness that he hath committed, and doeth that which is lawful and right, he shall save his soul alive." Whew, thank you, God, for giving me a remedy. How can I live, preacher, when I die? Do what God command you to do. Now, today, what are we telling people? Trust Jesus Christ. Call upon the name of Jesus Christ for the salvation of your soul. He will save you. Why? Because when the Christian comes your way, or someone in your family, they're telling you about Christ and the cross, they're telling you that you need to be saved because you're a sinner. And whatever you were doing with your life, whether you were fornicating, doing drugs, whatever the case might be under heaven, trusting in another religion, you needed to willfully make a choice of repentance to say, okay, this is what God says from the Bible. I need to change my mind. That's repentance. And I need to go this way where God is, in that direction. And so when I turn from my sin, unbelief, whatever the case, and I start going to God's direction, which is the cross of Christ, I'll be saved. My soul will be saved. Your soul will be saved too. This soul will die. That is, God will send the soul forever to hell for those that refuse to put their faith and trust in his word. And this soul, Jesus said, will be one day reunited with your body if you don't get saved, and will be destroyed in hell. Look at what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. This is one of my favorite verses because it's a scary verse. Amen. Matthew chapter 10, verse number 28. Look at what the Bible says here. Jesus said, "Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Is hell a real place? Yes, it is. Why? Jesus said it. Who is he? He's God. He can define the terms. That's why we are presenting to you the Bible definitions today. You are a real person. You have a soul, you have a spirit, and you have a body. This is just the building. It doesn't matter the color, doesn't matter the size, the width. The real you is the soul. That's what God's after. He wants you to be saved by trusting Jesus Christ. Because if you're not, Lord said, don't even worry about people who try to take this out. Don't worry about the vaccine. Don't worry about the government policies. Don't worry about the car crash. You better worry about your soul. Where are you going to spend eternity? Now, this soul is what God saves when we put our faith and trust in the gospel. Look at 1 Peter chapter number 1. I'm giving you a lot of Bible to build the foundation for the body. We'll get there. 1 Peter chapter 1. Go down with me to verse number 9. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. So when you hear about Jesus Christ, the gospel, and you respond to him in faith, he will save your soul. Your body, he'll take care of that one day. We call that the rapture, when our bodies will be reunited with our soul. This flesh is not redeemed, though. The soul is. That's why Romans 12 in our base text, we need to give him this body. We need to continually offer it up to him, a spiritual sacrifice, a living sacrifice. Because this body, boy, it ain't redeemed yet. He's given us the power over the body. But the soul right now, the soul is what receives salvation. Go down with me to verse number 22 in 1 Peter 1 and watch this. Seeing that you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. So, what does that tell me? It tells me that my soul can respond to the truth when I hear it. Romans 10 tells you when you obeyed that form of doctrine from the heart. So now, Bible with Bible, we've already showed you a lot of scripture earlier. The spirit, heart, connected. The soul, heart, connected. I can respond to God. I can reject God. I can respond to him in faith from when it's presented to me, or I can reject it. But he tells me when I call upon the name of Jesus Christ or the salvation of my soul, I will be saved. Because from my soul I said, Lord, thank you. Would you save me a sinner? And that's simply as obeying the truth. That's it. That's all it is. Now let's get back to the body. Y'all ready for this? Let's go back to Romans chapter 12. That's our base text for those of you who are visiting. We're going through the book of Romans verse by verse. Right now we're in chapter 12 in verse number 1 and 2. But we're building up the foundation for truth from what the Bible teaches on the three parts of your being. You have a spirit, you have a soul, you have a body. That's found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. So we just defined the three, but now we're going to get back to the most important today, is the body. Verse number 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Is that not what it says? God wants us to surrender, to submit our bodies unto him for his service and good pleasure, that he might use us for his work and purposes. This act of sacrifice is expected of all Christians, willfully, not by force. For notice the scripture, God doesn't do this. He says, I want you to present to me your body. I can do all things to Christ. Are you giving him your body? I just feel the Lord putting this on my body. Are you giving him your body? He wants you to do that. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3. We're going to talk about this body. This body, and then we'll talk about some of the acts. And like I warned you earlier, some of this Bible preaching may convict some of y'all because of the mind, the memories from times past, sin. But let the Bible do its job. Let it renew your heart. Let it continue to cleanse you from all that cray-cray or craziness that you got up in there. Philippians chapter 3. Go down with me to verse number 29. Right now, the Holy Spirit tells us in verse number 21, here's what he calls our body. Are you ready? Well, let's read verse 20. It's a good verse. For our conversation is in heaven. I hope you're a Christian. Hope you're a Christian. Our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. You know what that tells me? It doesn't matter if I'm brown, white, black, green, anything between, tall, short, skinny, fat, old, or young. I got a vile body. You have a vile body. I have a wretched flesh. You have a wretched flesh. And in this flesh, there are members. And these members are motivated by our human spirit and the desires of the soul. But when I become a Christian, the Holy Spirit of God comes into my soul. He saves me. He seals me. And he gives me the power to have power over the flesh, over the spirit, so that I can be obedient in his sight, etc., etc. Right now, it's a It's a wretched thing. Go with me to Romans chapter number 7. Romans chapter number 7. Why do we need to continue to surrender and submit unto him our bodies, even though we may be saved, and even though we may be saved for years and months? Look at what your Bible says in Romans 7, verse 18. Paul the Apostle says here, "For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth some good things." Is that what your Bible says? No. No good thing. Whew. Oh, but they're just such a good person, brother. They're just so nice. Look at them doing good for the homeless. Oh, they're so good. The Lord's going to take them right into heaven. Not what the Bible says. That's not what Paul said. One of the craziest guys who have ever lived on this planet. A persecutor of Christians, murderer, blasphemer. He got saved. And after he got saved, he said, "Man, in this body, there ain't nothing good still." So why do Christian churches teach that some of them still don't, like, that they don't have no more sin in them? They call it sinless perfection. That's a false doctrine. They fail to recognize that there's an old man and a new man, like the Bible says. After you got saved, you were redeemed, regenerated. You have a new man, a new woman. But that old man, he's connected with the flesh. And in that flesh, Holy Spirit says there ain't nothing good in there. That's why he wants you to continue to give him that body. But before I can give my body, what do I have to give him? My mind, my heart, my spirit, and my soul. Because if I'm not focused on God, if I'm not focused on that word, everything else is sin. And everything else is the lusts of my flesh. And before you know it, I take my eyes off the book. I take my eyes off of godly fellowship. I'm back out there in the world doing what I was. Anything under the sun that's outside of this. Galatians chapter 5, let's go there. Many of you guys understand this portion of scripture, but we need to get real, amen? You need to get that word of God in you. And when you do, it'll do its job. It'll purify. Galatians chapter number 5. Again, being written to Christians. We're all on the same playing field. I'm just a preacher, but I'm just like you. I'm a wretched man saved by grace. Amen. Praise the Lord. Galatians 5, verse number 16. Bible says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? Ultimately, I'll give you the short answer, and then I'll give you all the Bible for it later. It means to obey the Word of God. If you do not obey the Word of God, don't be telling me you're all spiritual, because you're supposedly prophesying to somebody, supposedly giving words of knowledge and tongue speaking, hoopla, and you're still fornicating, you're still drinking, you're still doing drugs, or you're still practicing sins like the Bible condemns. You're not spirit-led if you're not doing that. So now, verse 17. The flesh, the body, remember that. It lusts against the Spirit. You see that? Every day when you wake up, your first immediate battle is not your government. It's not your neighbors. It's not cultural, religion issues of society today, race and all this silliness that the world wants to feed you. It's you. It's your body. That thing, when it wakes up, it just wants me, 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 self, self, self. Give me what I want. It lusts against the Spirit of God in you. That's why you have to what? Surrender to God a living sacrifice. You have to give him your body. Give him the mind. Give him all that. Verse 17, "And the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest." It's evident. It's quite clear and obvious. Which are these? Adultery. Whew, there it is. Many of you fornicated in the past. Many of you committed adultery against somebody who was married. You know what God said? That was not of him. That was not of his Spirit. That was of your spirit when your soul lusted after the desire of the flesh. You wanted to have sex outside of marriage. That's a sin against God. The second, fornication. Having sex in general outside of holy matrimony. Not of God, of you and of your spirit and of your soul when you desire that sin. Uncleanness, perverseness, pornography, throw that in there. whatever you want under the sun. Lasciviousness, strong fleshly appetites could be for, it could be for alcohol, it could be for whatever the case would be, just some fleshly longing for something that is not upright. Idolatry. Now, many of us may not have come from a background where we were worshiping statues or images, but that Bible tells me later in the book of Colossians that covetousness is idolatry. Whoo! But I just want that thing, brother. Look at what they got. And I spend my monies just to get it, and it still doesn't satisfy me. You were covetous? That's of your flesh. Witchcraft, many of us may not have come out of that, but that's a sin, obviously. But are you ready for this? What about hatred? Woo! Sin of your flesh, sin of your soul, desire, and your spirit, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings. Wow. How many of us have ever felt envious of somebody before? Like you were just so jealous of what they had and you didn't have. Or why not me instead of them? Why didn't my boss pick me? Or why aren't they recognizing me? I want all of it. You know what the Holy Spirit said? That's on the same list of being a fornicator. That's on the same list of being a drunkard. Your envious spirit. Murders, right next to the envious. You see, God is, he's not a respecter of persons, amen? He doesn't care what you look like. He cares about the sin you did from your heart. He says, you're an envious person, wicked, I hate that. Same thing over there, murderer, I hate that. I hate all that sin. God, man, I'm telling you, man, God is holy. Drunkenness, revelings, and for all the other things, but what about weed, man? And what about all those things that I don't see in Scripture, bro? And such like. All right, there you go. Bible slap you up a little bit for you. Stop making excuses to satisfy this old piece of meat. There it is. You can't argue with God. Of the which, Paul says, I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, the day which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. What is he talking about there? He's not talking about your soul, because it's saved. We just saw that in 1 Peter 1. Your spirit goes back to God when it dies. We saw that. This has to do with my heavenly inheritance. Some of you have parents, wealthy, hopefully, and when they die, they leave you a little portion of their earnings, right? They call that a will. We have a God up there who, he says he owns everything. And we have a Savior who says he's building his mansions, praise the Lord. But your inheritance is what he's going to reward you with. And the longer you keep fornicating, the longer you keep being a drunkard, drinking alcohol, you know you shouldn't be doing that. Adultery, seditions, envying, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. The longer you keep walking after your flesh, he's docking your reward. He's docking your inheritance, point blank. It's not that the Spirit of God hasn't given you enough revelation. Don't blame it on the Spirit now. He gave you the book. He already told you what to do. It's not, I don't have enough understanding, preacher, of the Scriptures. No, you do. You do. It's that you don't want to give him your body. You want to continue to satisfy the lusts. That inheritance by day is getting affected. So then, what are you telling me, preacher? After I got saved, long ago, whatever the case for, I'm just speaking in generalities, you used to be a fornicator. You used to be a drunkard. I know that. You used to be a thief. Used to be a hardcore drug trafficker, prostitute, whatever the case might be. And you're learning how to be a Christian. You are slowly but surely kicking the habits. Praise the Lord. That's cool. He's going to hold you accountable after you became a Christian. If some of us still committed some sins after the fact, we're talking about these habits, you see, these things that are acts. You do such things. Your inheritance will be affected. That's why we need to get a hold of this flesh, this body. And we need to give it to God. One more before we close, and we'll pick up, Lord willing, next Sunday so we can have time for the Lord's Supper. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3, and then we'll go back to Romans. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3 and the book of Romans. It's good to be saved. I'm very thankful that when I became a Christian, my salvation was not dependent upon my works, nor is it still. It's by faith. I know I'm saved by faith. However, after I become a Christian, my works will still be judged by Jesus Christ. How faithful was I? Where was my heart? Did I get a hold of my spirit? Did I get a hold of those desires? Because he gave me the power to do that. Colossians 3, Verse number 5. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication. Now why is that always at the top? Sexual sin. Perhaps God says, I know mankind, and mankind has a desire. Uncleanness. Inordinate affection, that's disorderly affection. Perhaps homosexuality and things along those natures, unnatural affection. Evil concupiscence. Covetousness, are you ready? Which is idolatry. There it is. You keep coveting after that thing, the Lord says, you being idolatrous. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which you also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye, Christians, also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Not just the profanity, the bad words, the gossips, all that stuff. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off, say with me, church, the old man. That's what it's called now, the old man. And I put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. You see? So we believe the Bible. Yes, I'm saved. Praise the Lord, I have everlasting life. Why? That's the new man that's a part of me. But what's not saved is the old man, the body, the flesh, and all those lusts that are in there, just like you have it. You have an old woman, old, new woman. I have a new man, old man, vice versa. And the Lord says, we need to put that man off. He says, you need to mortify that thing. You need to kill it. You need to go to war with you every day and say, I am not going to give in to you, flesh. I'm going to give in to God. I'm going to reckon myself dead to sin. Those wicked thoughts don't have power over me anymore. Those desires for fornication, drugs, adultery, etc., etc., all that, I'm gonna bring it into subjection to the Word of God, because He's given me the power to do that in Jesus' name. You pray, whatever you got to do, amen. but let me just leave you with this. Go back here to verse number 6. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. You know why God is angry with the wicked every day? It's because of their sin. Every time that sinner sins against God, His anger is fueled, and it's going up. And it's going up. We talk about that cup of wrath up there, book of Revelation. One day it'll be filled, and one day it'll be poured out. Every time that kidnapper kidnaps a child, anger. Every time that child is disobedient to his or her parents, anger. Every time you lie to somebody, anger. Those things He's telling you before you got saved, that's why I was going to send you to hell, because of how angry I was with your sin. But there was a Savior. There was a gift from God. There was somebody that came down here to seek and save you, because you were lost in your sin on your way to hell. And He said, if you come unto me, I will give you peace. I will give you everlasting life. If you believe in me, I will save you. That's what Jesus did. That's what God offers you. He wants to pardon you. He wants you to repent, so He doesn't have to fulfill this entire thing that's a part of this condemnation against your sin. He wants for you to be saved from that wrath. That's why we do what we do Saturdays. We go downtown and street preach, because people need to be saved because of their sin. That's why. And so for the Christian, what does He tell you? Look at verse 7. In the which ye also walked some time. You know what God, He looks at right now? Isn't this crazy, church? Listen up real quick. Right now, from heaven, the Father's perspective, because you have the righteousness of Christ, you used to. You no longer look like that to me. Whew, praise God. I had my anger against you because you were a fornicator, you were a drunkard, you were a rebel. But my Son, in between us, His righteousness on your account now, you used to live like that. So now that I know more Bible, now that I know more truth, Romans 12, verse number 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's now our responsibility as Christians to be able to agree with God and to be able to live a life that God sees through Christ within all of us, sanctified, saved, washed,
redeemed, purified, holy, blameless, without love, without rebuke. That's how the Father views me through Christ. And He wants me to live that out right now, and I can. The choice is yours. Amen? You have the choice. Father, we thank You for today. We thank You for the Bible. Some of these truths, Lord, convicting. Some of these truths, Lord, hard to be reminded of where You brought us from, Lord. Lord, it is very good to be saved. God, I can't believe I was once in darkness, God. I was once a sinner on my way to hell because I've sinned against You, a holy God. But I'm so thankful that within Your great love, You weren't willing that I perish in my sin. You sent Your only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, down to this earth to live as a perfect man, tempted in all ways, yet without sin. You crucified Him. You put all my sin upon His body one time so that He can save me if I would just call on Him. And I'm thankful to be saved today. I'm thankful to know, God, that Your wrath is no longer against my soul because You put it on Christ one time, but that Your grace now is upon my soul because I've responded to Him one time. So, Father, help us as children to respond to Your Spirit, to Your Bible, in obedience moving forward. Help us not to live like the old man. Help us not to live like the old woman with its lust and its deeds. Help us to take control of our spirit. Help us to take control of our bodies so we can live in a way that is pleasing to You, Lord, and acceptable. And prepare our hearts now as we get ready for the communion. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, church, we're going to close for the online crowd. So thank you for joining us. But for those of you